Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation. Black power, black power, black power, brothers and sisters. You're listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. Tonight is Wednesday night, and as you know, those of you who've been listening, on Wednesday nights we're doing the COVID updates from the Your Immunity Project, which is spearheaded by Dr. Aileen Muhammad and the other doctors and researchers with the Your Immunity Project. This is a project in response to the biological weapon that was dropped on the world, this planned pandemic of the COVID-19 and the various variants of this weapon that was disseminated upon the planet Earth. This virus was indeed a man-made virus, and we have laid out all of the facts from the moment that this virus was unleashed, and we have been making it a point that we keep the people up to date as to the true information that you need to know in regards to protecting yourself, your family, and your community, and making you aware of what is truly taking place. Every Tuesday night, the Your Immunity Project hosts conference calls. And what we have made a commitment to do is on Wednesday nights, we rebroadcast the conference call on the New Black Panther Party radio. That way we are keeping current, up-to-date in regards to the information that Dr. Aleem Muhammad and the brothers and sisters with the Your Immunity Project are bringing forth. They have doctors, they have researchers, and this is indeed an international effort, as we have brothers and sisters that have been bringing the information from the UK, from Australia, from Africa, and from South America. This epidemic, this plandemic that is taking place, is affecting every corner of the planet. This broadcast has a voice and a listening audience all across the globe. So the information that we are putting out is very important for everyone that's listening, and we need you to spread this information. This clip that we're going to play tonight from the Your Immunity Project will last about 1 hour and 26 minutes. Immediately following that, there is another group of doctors and researchers that we have been monitoring that has a website, Doctors. The website is Doctors, spelled out Doctors, the number 4, COVID Ethics. That's doctors4covidethics.org. On this website, you will see doctors, researchers, and scientists from all around the planet who have been pretty much doing the same information, disseminating some of the same information that Dr. Aleem and the Your Immunity Project has been disseminating. So this is a well-rounded information source on Wednesday night as it comes to what is truly taking place with this virus and the vaccines. So immediately following the Your Immunity Project clip, I will play a clip from the doctors, one of the doctors that are breaking down some of the more in-depth scientific data that verifies not only is the COVID a biological weapon, but it also you will get information on how this vaccine is a continuation of the biological weaponry. We must know what is taking place. You must know how to fight and stand up for yourself. You can also, on that site, go and get information in regards to looking up forms, templates for forms that you can use when you're trying to stand your rights and stand your ground in regards to forced vaccines for yourself and your family. There's a wealth of templates there. We are in the process of also putting out a list of different attorneys who have been fighting and the class actions that are taking place in regards to what is truly taking place here. So without further ado, we're going to start off with this clip from Dr. Aleem Muhammad and the brothers and sisters with the Your Immunity Project, followed with a clip from Doctors for COVID Ethics. So get your pen and paper out, take notes, and not only take notes, take this to heart and take action, as this indeed warfare on the people. Black power.
Mandates. Vaccinations, vaccination rates, headlines in the news, reports from around the world. You're in the right place. Some people call this the hour of truth, because the Bible says the truth shall set you free. So we do more than dissect lies. We go after the positive truth. And so welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. You're in the right place. Don't touch that dial. Don't go nowhere. The only thing you should do right now, besides paying close attention, go call somebody. Let somebody else in on the good news that the truth is being told somewhere in this dark, crazy world. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We go through from A to Z everything that's relevant, everything that's important to you and me, everything that's important to keep you and me alive. What is the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, besides where we rehearse the truth? Well, the Your Immunity Project itself is the community's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The community has to protect itself. The unity of the community is its protection. Because if we all come together, then we have all of our intelligence together. We have all of our resources together. We have everything together. But when we're apart, then we can be picked off separately and apart. And so the Your Immunity Project is just that. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's a movement. It's a movement for survival. It's a grassroots movement. We deal with the nut, with the truth, the nuts and the bolts, nothing but the truth, the holy truth, the unholy truth, nothing but the truth. And so welcome to the Your Immunity Project. This is where we meet every week. So while you're informing your friends and family that they should be tuned in, let's go over the guiding principles. We have five guiding principles. Some of you have been with us for a long time, and you know what I'm getting ready to go through. But some of you are here for the first time, or you're not quite sure what this is really all about. But we have five guiding principles. So whether we're trying to protect ourselves from a virus like COVID-19 or the variants, or whether we're trying to protect ourselves from the spike protein, which is a self-propagating protein that comes from the vaccine, so-called. We'll get into that later. And so prevention, diagnosis, treatment, research, and education are the five principles. How do you prevent the spread of viruses? We do that very easily with the use of Paxlovid. It doesn't make any difference whether it's the original COVID-19, whether it's one of the variants, whether it's the Omicron, the Delta. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if it's going to be smallpox in the future, Ebola in the future, or some other virus in the future. The Paxlovid, the interferon, it prevents the contagion and the spread, and it's also the treatment. Well, what about the spike protein that the vaccinated people are spreading? Well, the only way to prevent you from being contaminated with that spike protein, I guess that's the right word, contamination, poison, is total avoidance. Skin contact, breathing the same air, exchange of body fluids is how vaccinated people transmit, not just the COVID-19 virus or whatever virus they might be spreading, but they're spreading the spike protein, which does all of the body damage. And so total avoidance, self-quarantine is the preventive measure right now to prevent contagion with the poisonous spike protein. Now, the diagnosis of both the virus and the spike protein is in doubt. The FDA never approved the PCR test. The inventor of the PCR test said it was never to be used to diagnose clinical illness. And of course, there is no diagnostic test for the spike protein, unless it would be the HIV test, because once you get the shot, you're going to test positive.
Dr. Arlene, on mute.
Yes.
Okay. You're
long
muted.
Have been muted.
You can be heard now.
How long was I muted?
Just a couple of seconds.
Oh, just a couple of seconds. Okay. So I think what I was saying is that we're going to be going over some treatment issues later in the program because I'm getting a lot of reports of people in the hospital going into 2022. And the question is, what do I do now? So we're going to touch on some of those issues. Now, we're doing research. That's the fourth principle. And the first phase of the research project, the clinical trial, in other words, that report is going to be due out early in 2022. And the second phase of the clinical trial is going to begin enrollment also in January of 2022. We're going to hear from our research team later on in the call. And then the fifth principle is education. And that's what this Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call is all about. We educate one another. We talk about everything. We don't censor ourselves. We talk about what needs to be talked about. And we don't get political. We don't get religious or sectarian. We don't get out of bounds. We don't get impolite. We don't do personal attacks. We just deal with the facts. And so welcome to the Your Immunity Project and its five principles: prevention, diagnosis, treatment, research, and education. You're in the right place. So now, I'm going to give a disclaimer, as I always do, because we talk about everything. We talk about medicine, legal issues, all kinds of things, but we don't give our professional advice. So don't think that you're getting professional, personal, legal advice, medical advice, financial advice, or anything of the sort. We're just presenting information for you to think about. You don't have to believe what we say, but what we want you to do is to think for yourself. Listen to everybody, but think for yourself. So now, I want to say today we should have a report from our research team, as already mentioned. I guess I should mention a little progress with the Paxamune. We have a very good supply. The next production cycle is already underway. So we have Paxamune on hand, ready to ship as soon as the order comes in. So please don't delay. I think we're going to be good going into 2022, but then we don't know what 22 is going to bring. If it's anything like 21, and I think it's going to be worse, then you want to make sure that you have plenty of Paxamune on hand for whatever may happen. Probably the most concerning issue is the disruption in transportation and the supply chain and all the rest of it. And the last time, of course, we ran into a bottleneck. The workers at the bottling plant didn't show up, and workers are not showing up all over the place. We wonder what happened to 4.3 million workers and truckers and other essential workers, especially in the middle of a depopulation agenda. When people end up missing, you begin to wonder what could have happened. So the Paxamune is in good supply, ready to ship. It's a good gift. This is the holiday season for many people, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah, all kinds of holidays taking place around the world. So give the gift of life, which is Paxamune. So now let's move on to some of our other reports. Is our research team on the line? We'll hear from them first if they are.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Nadia.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you doing?
I am fine. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks to Allah.
Good. So in terms of the research team, we don't have anything major to report out today, but we are still plugging along with the research efforts, and we anticipate that we'll have a full update by next week's call.
Okay. So that's major because we're doing a project.
And I do want to add, to Dr. Aleem, in addition, if I can, we had recently received over 100 new signups. We do encourage participants, or your family members or friends, to sign up. And Dr. Aleem, we want to thank you and your efforts in terms of promoting the second phase of the clinical trial and the clinical trial in general. So we thank you. As a result of that, we have more interest, and we're going to continue with our efforts. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And you see, it's very important to understand, you know, that not only do you do research to answer important questions, like what is really going on with COVID-19 and all the rest of it. And we know that we can't trust what we're hearing in the mainstream media or from the mouth of the likes of Anthony Fauci. So that's why we're doing our own independent research, so we can discover the truth for ourselves and then tell it to ourselves, report it back to ourselves. Now, the second reason is very practical, because they're beginning to institute COVID-19 passports all over the world, all over the country. In New York City, you can't go places if you can't show and produce some papers, some document that you have been vaccinated. Well, one of the benefits of participating in the clinical trial is that while you're in a clinical trial, you can't be forced to participate in another clinical trial. And that's exactly what this so-called vaccine campaign is. It's an experimental vaccine, so-called, that's being administered under an emergency use authorization. So that makes it experimental. And so if we're enrolled in our own clinical trial, then we can't be compelled to participate in somebody else's clinical trial. So we're developing something that will go on your phone, like a QR code that you can show at restaurants and other public places where you need to show what they would call your vaccine status. So that's very, very important. And we look forward to hearing the report next week and looking forward to progress going into 2022. Thank you very much. So I don't know who else is on the line. Things have been really, really hectic today. Do we have our brother from Australia? Do we have our Australia report from down under?
Yes, yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Alina.
That's Brother Ruben from Melbourne, Australia.
How
What's
are you
going
doing?
On down there, brother?
Oh, well, he is a little bit more doom and gloom, so I'm going to keep it short. What we expected to happen did happen is that there's been all kinds of disruptions, even though they opened up the entire country for people to travel across state lines. They did mandate that everybody have full vaccination and also all kinds of other tests. So that has thrown the country into chaos because many who wanted to visit with their loved ones across state lines simply could not travel. It was taking them 4 or 5 days to get, you know, PCR test results back, and it had to be valid for 72 hours prior to that. So, I mean, it's just been, you know, a lot of confusion here within state lines. Those who could travel overseas as well were disrupted because there's a requirement that if you are vaccinated, that you still need to get a test within 72 hours of your travel. And because they could not get results back, you had thousands of people stranded at airports here who couldn't move. And, you know, kind of said, well, my holiday is disrupted. I had hotel bookings. I had family to visit for the new year, et cetera, et cetera. So that's thrown the country into a lot of disarray and chaos. But also, we did mention this on last week's show and a few other shows, the shortage of fertilizer. Well, the next thing that they have a shortage of here is something called urea, which is one of the components in fertilizer that they use. Mm-hmm. But here in Australia, there's a mandate with all trucks, anything that has a diesel engine, they use a product called AdBlue, A-D-B-L-U-E. Anyone can look that up. It's an additive that helps control emissions with trucks and any diesel vehicles. Well, those vehicles cannot run without this particular additive. And as of right now, the country's basically run out of supply of the particular, this AdBlue additive. So
really?
Not only do we have a problem with transportation because all trucks use diesel, but now even whenever or wherever they can get these truck drivers who are missing to get back and to work, et cetera, well, they're going to have an issue now of, well, the trucks cannot run. So, you know, we're getting ready for serious, serious disruption for everything. We're talking, you know, grocery stores and, you know, just general suppliers that, you know, we're so used to going to the supermarket for everything. And, you know, when things are not at the supermarket, we all know what happens. You get a run on the shelves and all of a sudden you go in and you walk out with, you know, a bottle of water and there's nothing in there. So these are things we're getting ready for, and they're kind of telling the people. And I know there's been many weather events there on your side of the world, Dr. Lim, but here in Australia, we've had plenty as well. We've had summer started, and instead of getting the usual heat waves, we got a heat wave for one day, and then we got hail the next day, and freezing temperatures. And we're now coming into a heat wave for the next 3 days, so we'll see what happens then. But of course, when we get the heat waves, we get the power disruptions and other things. So it's general chaos here. The other thing that is worth noting as well is, as we expected, once they opened up the whole country, all, you know, for everyone to, you know, sporting events and concerts and whatnot, once we got out of lockdown and the freedom to travel across even state lines, they expected their projections, the best numbers they had here for, say, Sydney, for example. This is the next state, north from Melbourne, where I am. They said, look, we expect to be getting 25,000 COVID infections every day. Now, that number doesn't sound like a lot, but coming from when we had basically single-digit and double-digit infections, I mean, we would look at the news every day and they'd say, okay, today is 30 people, tomorrow is 40. During lockdown, when we got to 100, it was serious, you know, because we were shut down. The lockdown here in my state was because of 4 infections. Okay, so now when we start getting to hundreds and to thousands, today in Sydney alone, 11,000. Basically, it's been doubling every day for a week since they opened up. Now, they've vaccinated 96% of the people, and the children will be vaccinated from January next week, basically. They've got all the 20 million vaccine doses they're hoping to get in, and they're here, and they're ready to start injecting the 5 to 11-year-olds. So they're the next candidates who will be infected, so-called vaccinated.
You said it right.
That's right. So they're the candidates who, you know, they have about a month before the school season goes back, because we are in summer here in the Southern Hemisphere, so this is a monthly break that we all get. And they hope to have all of these children ready for school by end of January, and of course fully vaccinated, two doses. They have also changed the program now from every 6 month booster. From next week, it's every 5 months, and by the end of January, it'll be every 4 months. And because of the case numbers doubling every day here in Australia, we can expect that it will probably get to a stage where they're going to make it every 3 months, and then, you know, God knows what they'll do after that, probably every month.
Every 3 days.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, the numbers don't look all that staggering, but if you look at a city of, with say Sydney, 5-6 million people, with 11,000 cases today, and tomorrow they think that'll double, and the next day it'll double. What that means is, compared to say America, I saw on CNN this morning, they said all of a sudden you've got 250,000 infections today, and they expect that to perhaps get to 500,000 every day from now on. 250,000 infections. As compared to, you know, in a population of 350 million people, give or take, and 11,000 infections in a population of about 5 million people. Well, the infection rate here is about three times greater than it is in the United States when you look at the per capita numbers.
Yeah.
So that's a real serious thing. And again, like I said, coming down from, you know, having 20, 30 people a day to 11,000. And they didn't expect this number to jump up that quick. They were giving it till end of January to get to 25,000 per day. We're already at 11,000. They expect that tomorrow it'll probably double. So they're now trying to figure out, do we have to go to four shots, four boosters? Or, you know, we're already on three. What are they going to do? So it's interesting to see how they've played this out, because the idea was to let everyone free. I mean, you'll probably all be watching soon the sports from the Southern Hemisphere. They've got the Australian Open, all the tennis stars are here, and many other, you know, events as well. So we'll keep, you know, we'll keep you updated on that
Okay. Hopefully
next week as well. But let's get ready for all kinds of problems in 2022, food, health, and everything else in between as well. So thank you, Dr. Aleem, and I'll be available for any questions for any of the listeners. And we'll pray that everyone continues to take the precautions that they need to keep themselves and their family safe. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, we thank you very much, Brother Ruben, for keeping us informed. We'd like to keep our eye on Australia, because it seems like Australia is leading the way, especially among the Western nations, as to what's coming next. So, well, you're seeing the disruptions in Australia. That's what's coming in the United States very shortly, if it's not already here. So thank you very, very much. Sister Najma, do we have any other reports on the line?
I don't see anyone else on.
Okay, so let's go to our headlines and images. And this is something that we do every week. There's quite a bit of censorship in the United States and Europe on the major platforms. So you really have to dig for the news to see what's really taking place. So I like to look behind the headlines, or should I say behind the official narrative, in search of the truth. And so what you're hearing more and more as she's bringing up these images is you're going to see, as he reported from Australia, the increase in the number of COVID cases. Well, everybody that gets sick from now on, from any cause, The alleged reason will be COVID-19. I don't care what the person is sick from. It will be called COVID-19. And that is primarily to boost the numbers and to increase the fear, but also to hide the fact that the shot is not protecting anybody from illness. And so I don't know what that black line is there on top, but I don't know if everybody else sees it. But anyhow, this says Washington, D.C. to introduce vaccine passports in January. Yes, January 15th is the date where if you want to go anywhere in Washington, D.C., you're going to have to show your papers. This is, of course, the nation's capital. So if it's happening in D.C., pretty soon it's going to be happening everywhere. Next image, please. I don't know what that black line is. Can you just delete that or something?
Yeah, it shouldn't be showing up at all. This is the Zoom app. It shouldn't be coming up.
Okay. Yeah, now this is just a think piece. The same people who believe the earth is overpopulated say they can save your life with a vaccine. You see, so again, people are really revealing their stupidity, you see, by just not noticing just this simple, obvious fact. The people who have been on record for decades saying they want to depopulate the world, the earth, now they want to save your life with a vaccine. See, so don't be stupid. Think. Next image, please. Yeah, now, I took this picture myself. One of the things I do, I like the bicycle. I have an electric bicycle. I go bicycling. It's good exercise. And it was a beautiful, clear day. It may have been Christmas Day, in fact. Beautiful, clear day. No, it wasn't Christmas Day. It was the day after Christmas. And beautiful, clear day, not a cloud in the sky. So I jumped on my bike. And the next thing I know, there were three planes in the sky putting down chemtrails. And then one of those planes turned towards me. And I said, what, are you being paranoid? That plane is not turning towards you. And then by the time I made it home, I was able to take this picture directly over my house. So, yeah, they were targeting me. So when you see these chemtrails, do not ignore it, even though the weatherman does not report it in his weather reports. These are deadly. These chemtrails can contain almost anything. In India, the chemtrails were used to spook the population into getting vaccinated. They put mold spores in the air, and people came down with fungal pneumonias and other fungal illnesses. That same thing happened to me from chemtrails earlier in this year. So be careful. Don't ignore what's obvious over your head. When you see that in the sky, you stay indoors. Next image, please. Now, this is a picture of a natural killer cell. This is a lymphocyte. This is a part of your immune system. This cell is literally called a natural killer lymphocyte, and the name tells you what it does. This is the cell that you depend on to kill viruses and to kill anything that's trying to harm you. And the problem is that these natural killers are being decimated by the spike protein. And so people who have gotten the jab, they're losing their natural killers. And when you lose your natural killers that defend you, then you are defenseless. Next image, please. Yeah, now this is Sukarit Bhakti. This is a video. And if you go to my Twitter account, Mukhi Fuad on Twitter, Dr. Aleem on Twitter. Mukhi Fuad was on Instagram before I deleted them. They censored me and I deleted them. But if you go to my Twitter account, Dr. Aleem on Twitter, then you'll see where you can link to this, a very, very informative video. And basically he's reporting on the autopsies of 70 people, dead people, who were fully vaccinated. And the autopsy reports are shocking. And it shows that the spike protein goes everywhere in the body and attacks every single organ in the body. So it's very important for you to look at that. And I would say, do your doctor a favor. Do your healthcare providers a favor. Send them the video. They'll understand it even better than you. And then they'll understand what they're involved in. Many, many healthcare providers, they really are just as brainwashed as everybody else. They don't know what they're doing. They think they're doing something good. They think they're good Samaritans. Next image. Can you blow this up? Yeah, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death rather than, as we see in some countries, are using to give boosters to kill children. This is from the head of the World Health Organization. Well, he's saying that countries who are approving the so-called vaccine shot and the booster shots for children, as the FDA just did for 5 to 11-year-olds, his brother in Australia said they just approved it for children in Australia. And so here's the head of the World Health Organization saying these countries are literally killing children. Think about that. Next image. So blow this up. Now, this is Dr. Charles Lieber. People on the world, coming on the Your Immunity Project conference call, you know that name, Charles Lieber, the former chairman of molecular chemistry at Harvard University, found guilty on all 6 charges. When you have heard me and others report that these injections contain nanoelectronics, nanotransistors, radio frequency receivers, and transmitters, well, you're looking at the face of the man who invented all of that. He has the patents for all of that nanotechnology that's in the injection that leads to mind control. Charles Lieber. So he was arrested at International Airport, Logan International Airport in Boston, trying to leave the country. He was accompanied by 2 members of the People's Liberation Army. They had biological samples that were strapped to their ankles. And now he's been convicted on 6 charges. When you hear that Anthony Fauci and NIH funded gain-of-function research on coronaviruses, well, this is the man that built the virology lab in China. And they were paying him, what, $15,000 a month, $50,000 expense account, millions of dollars in research funds, convicted on all 6 charges. Now, of course, he's a chip off the old block. Now, his father was in the satellite business. See, Charles went small into the nano world, but his daddy went big. His daddy was into the satellite spy satellites. So all of the technology, the scanning satellite technology, the spying on people all over the world, his daddy invented that. And now Junior, he invents the stuff to spy on you from the inside. Well, they convicted him, so let's see how much time he gets. He's out on $1 million bond. When you're making that kind of money, what's $1 million? Next image. Yeah, now this is meant to scare you. See, if you say, who are the super spreaders among us? If there's a surge in COVID-19 infections, if there's another wave taking place, who's responsible? The fully vaccinated people, so-called. And we know the shot is not a vaccine, but they call them fully vaccinated. Well, they're basically super spreaders because they harbor huge amounts of virus. So they're spreading whatever virus they might have, whatever variant they might have in their bodies. And they might have several at the same time. But they're also spreading the spike protein. And that's really what's making everybody sick. So now these surges in COVID cases among the fully vaccinated, do you know what that really means? These are the side effects of the vaccine. And they're calling it COVID. But we also know that that's bogus because there is no COVID diagnosis that's valid because the PCR test is bogus. It was never approved by the FDA. So all of these diagnoses of COVID, hey, that's all phony. And it's covering up the fact that it is the shot that is making fully vaccinated people sick. And fully vaccinated people are spreading the spike protein to unvaccinated people and making them sick. It's not COVID. It's the shot. Next image. Can you blow that up so I can read it? Yeah, now this is autopsy reports. And I just want you to take a look at this, that you understand the scope of this. Look at the age spread. The youngest person out of the 15 deaths was 28 years old, and the oldest person was 95. So that's not pretty widespread. 7 men, 8 women, pretty evenly spread. And the time period from injection ranged from 7 days to 6 months. You see, so, and then you see the particular shot that they got is also listed. And it seems that all of the vaccines cause the same problems. Next image. Here's a part two to that slide. So it's the same thing. But this is a part of the autopsy report that I mentioned earlier, where they actually looked into the people who are dying and determined the cause of death to be complications of the spike protein. Next image, please. Okay. Yeah. Okay, now this is actually from the same report, from the same pathology report. And this is actually a microscopic image showing you inflammation. I believe this is a lymph node. And you see, this is where your immune cells are educated or destroyed. And what's taking place here is the destruction of your immune cells, your B cells, your T cells, the natural killer cells I showed you. So this is actually the pathological evidence of that immune destruction. Next image. Okay, we already looked at this. Maybe I sent it twice. Go to the next one. Now, January 15th is King Day, isn't it? Yeah, that's Martin Luther King's Day. Oh, okay, look at this. COVID-19 injection damage official figures. Now, if you can, yeah. Now, this is for the United Kingdom. That's England. The European Union, and the U.S. So the number of deaths, official figures now as of December, from the U.K., 1,800 deaths. For all of Europe, 32,000 deaths. This is from the injection. This is what is officially reported. And, of course, here in the United States, 19,000. Now, the vaccine adverse events reporting system in the United States allegedly only collects 1% of the total. So if they're reporting 19,532 deaths, that's 1% of the actual total. Add two more zeros on that. And what do you get? You get 1,953,200 deaths. Would be more like it. 1,953,200 deaths are in all probability the actual number of people who have died from the injection. And this begins to explain the worker shortage, doesn't it? Why there's 120,000 truck drivers missing? Because 1,953,200 Americans have died from the shot. Now, on the second line, we're not talking about people who literally died, because everybody doesn't die right away from the shot. Some are just injured. So you see in the UK, 1,314,000 people injured, All over Europe, nearly 3 million people injured. And in the United States, 4,421,178 people injured. And remember, this is a 1% figure. So if you add the two zeros, hey, you're looking at tens of millions of people who are disabled from the shot, and maybe almost 2 million people dead. So does that begin to explain the worker shortage, the lack of truck drivers and others? They can't find people to come to work. That's to come into focus, doesn't it? Next image. The agenda is depopulation. It's not public health. The agenda is depopulation. They
that
tell
was
you
the last one.
That was the last one? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, you know what? I wanted to read that letter that I wrote, but I guess I can't do it. But I'm going to post. This is just an alert. I wrote a letter of advice for people who have friends or family that are in the hospital. And it's just some pointers that you might want to consider. Of course, the most important thing is to stay out of the hospital. You don't want to go there at all. I mean, nobody ever does. Nobody ever did. But that is especially true now. You should do everything in your power to stay out of the hospital. Oh, she did bring it up. See how smart these people are? Yeah, I wrote this kind of in a general way. It's just like an open letter because for the last couple of days, I just get inundated. People calling me, this one's in the hospital, somebody else is in the hospital, what should I do? And a lot of times these are not my patients, but they're people that I know. And of course, their life may be hanging in the balance. So I'm just going to read this letter. And we'll try to post this somewhere where you could read it for yourself or maybe share it with other people that you know are facing this situation. And as we go forward into 2022, more and more of us are going to be faced with this situation. So Dr. Alim responds to families of hospitalized COVID-19 cases. And I call them cases because that's what they are. Many people have relatives and friends in the hospital. Get set for 2022 with understaffed hospitals and clinics. They drove many of the hospital staff away because they wouldn't submit to the mandates. And of course, many of the hospital staff, they worked unprotected a year ago. They were heroes on the front line. And how many nurses passed away? How many doctors passed away over the last 20 months because they were working under unsafe, unprotected conditions. And so hospitals today and clinics are understaffed. So that's another reason you don't want to go to a hospital because they might be staffing it with the National Guard. What kind of doctors are they? So these are the new wave COVID-19 cases based on the same misdiagnosis determined by the faulty testing, and namely the PCR test. And we've gone through that. Also ignoring the massive published side effects of post-mRNA gene therapy injections. See, I mean, nobody wants to talk about that, that these people are suffering from the side effects of the shot they got. And, of course, the PCR test is not FDA approved. For those who don't know, these mRNA shots, which are also not approved, despite their propaganda that says that they are, they were never FDA approved. These mRNA shots produce the self-spreading spike protein. Person-to-person transmission occurs via airborne inhalation, in other words, breathing the same air as a vaccinated person, skin contact, and exchanges of body fluids. even like what I'm doing now, I'm speaking, little droplets of moisture could be inhaled by another person. And if I was a vaccinated person, I just vaccinated you, just with my breath. This is the primary cause of all COVID-19 pathology, the spike protein. Immune deficiency and death. We've discussed this on previous broadcasts. People who have received the jab, they lose 5% of their immune function per week after the jab. So ultimately, they actually end up with what's called vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. In other words, vaccine-induced AIDS. And this ultimately leads to death from organ failure or overwhelming opportunistic infection. And this death spiral is due to an antibody-enhanced multiple organ failure. Now, blood clots are often the cause of strokes, heart attacks, kidney failure, organ failure of all sorts. But paradoxically, along with blood clotting, people who receive the jab also have bleeding disorders. Cancers are explosive because the immune system, surveillance system has been dismantled. And of course, myocarditis, the inflammation of the heart, is very common and is causing major collapses in athletes and athletically active people, muscular people, young people, vigorous people, because the exercise itself actually accelerates the pathological process caused by the spike protein. This leads to major premature deaths. The U.S. population decreased by 2% last year, and that's accelerating. This ongoing tragedy is compounded by the deliberate withholding of well-known safe and effective treatments such as ivermectin, the interferons, and hydrochloroquines. And the list goes on. There's about 20 medications approved by the World Health Organization that are used all over the world to treat COVID-19 patients. And these very effective treatments are deliberately forbidden in the United States. So when I've talked to doctors, as I did today, I talked to an ICU doctor in Baltimore. And I asked him about whether ivermectin was in the hospital formulary. He said no. And I said, why not? He didn't answer. I didn't even bother to ask him about the interferon. It's not there. And so this deliberate withholding of safe and effective treatments is tantamount to manslaughter, murder, especially since all of these treatments are relatively inexpensive. Now, people say ivermectin doesn't work. Well, wait a minute. Ivermectin won the Nobel Prize for Medicine. It's one of the best ever put on the market. And it's relatively safe. So, okay, so perhaps prevention has failed and there's a relative of yours in the hospital, maybe in the ICU. What should you do now? Okay, well, ask the staff at the hospital to use ivermectin. If doctors put enough pressure on the formulary, the pharmacy may actually get it. And there was a lawsuit recently brought against the hospital staff for refusing to use it, and the judge ordered them to use it, and the patient recovered. So why aren't doctors free to choose the medications that they think will help their patients? Why are they put into a straitjacket where they are forced to use medications that are known to cause problems? So you may have to get a supply of the ivermectin yourself and take it to the hospital because they don't have it in the formulary. The formulary is like the pharmacy for the hospital. Now, remdesivir is a no-no. Remdesivir is a product of Gilead Pharmaceuticals. It was never FDA approved. I think maybe they squeaked it through recently, but it's a deadly drug. It has no known benefits. It causes renal failure in at least 40% of people. in the animal studies to develop remdesivir, it was 100% fatal in mice colonies and monkey colonies, and it has no known use. It could only have been developed as a poison to kill living organisms. There's no other reason for there to be such a thing as remdesivir. But unfortunately, in the protocol that is being followed all across America, as dictated by Anthony Fauci, remdesivir is a part of the protocol. So if you have a relative in the ICU, they're being given remdesivir unless you tell them to stop. And there's a 40% chance if they get remdesivir, they're going to lose their kidneys, as well as other multiple organ failures. So remdesivir was ordered by Dr. Fauci. Is not FDA approved. So I got a contrary report. Somebody said, well, it really was approved. Well, if it was, it shouldn't have been, because it causes kidney failure and death in a high percentage of cases. Now this is kind of like a guerrilla action. I mean, really, if someone is really sick from a virus, perhaps you can spray some Paxlovid in the mouth, the nose, the face, the eyes, wherever you can get it. Enough of it will be absorbed to do some good. There's no harm in spraying it in the eyes. In fact, people who suffer from dry eyes, oftentimes that's a viral illness, and Paxlovid sprayed right in the eyes will correct that. Now, also, this is very important. Tell them that you do not agree to their possible standing order to do not resuscitate. Do not resuscitate orders are what is applied to terminal cancer patients. You know, where you don't want to someone who cannot be helped by any known treatment, you issue do not resuscitate orders because they're going to have some terminal event, a heart attack or whatever. That's going to be the end of that life. So that's reserved for hopelessly ill cancer patients. But a year ago or so, some of the big health plans, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, what's the other one? Starts with the P, Prudential. Some of the other ones, they actually issue do not resuscitate orders on all COVID-19 cases. So anybody that has a COVID-19 diagnosis on their chart, you better check to see, is there a do not resuscitate order that goes with that? Which means that they will not lift a finger to save somebody's life in an emergency situation. So check on that and tell them that you do not agree and that you would consider it murder and medical malpractice if they did not do everything in their power to preserve the life of your relative. And see, the true diagnosis of the patient is whatever her underlying condition may have been. You see, the COVID-19 is just a covered diagnosis. It's actually a statistical case diagnosis. It's not a clinical diagnosis. So I spoke to an ICU doctor today in Baltimore, and a very nice, eager beaver type guy. You know, these young interns and residents, I mean, just got out of medical school yesterday. So they're gung-ho, and they believe everything their teachers tell them. He told me he already knew that ivermectin was not in the hospital formula. But he explained to me that he's not free to make his own decisions. And actually, he didn't seem to be bothered by the fact that he's not free to act like a true doctor. He just follows instructions. So basically, the instructions are Anthony Fauci's protocol. The doctors in the hospitals, the hospital staff, they basically have no choice. They have no independent medical judgment. They are not actually doctors anymore. They are employees, probably of healthcare companies, and they're afraid of losing their jobs. So they do what they're told, just like the Nazi doctors did in Nazi Germany in World War II. And of course, you want to make sure that you make it clear to the hospital staff that they are not to vaccinate your relative against your will. Now pray, you see, pray that your relative gets out of the hospital soon and is not put on a respirator. Don't smirk at the advice to pray, because prayer is scientifically proven to work. It makes people better. Even people who don't believe in prayer are improved if somebody prays for them. This is scientifically verified. Now, in science, this is called the placebo effect. It's actually the effect of faith, believing that something will work or believing that you're going to get better. We should set up prayer circles and churches and mosques and people of goodwill. We should organize prayer circles, and we should be cognizant of people that we know that are in our social circles who are ill, that are hospitalized, and we should make an organized effort to pray for them, pray them back into health until we have better answers to some of these perplexing problems. So that's an open letter, and you can read it at your own leisure. And maybe it will help you to cope with these very, very difficult and trying situations that many of us find ourselves in. So thank you. Now let's open up our lines. We open up lines for questions and answers, testimonials, reports from the field. There's a lot of events taking place. Of course, we want you to visit the Informed African Americans blogspot.com. Where an expert panel of African Americans holds forth on the threat of COVID-19 and the vaccine campaign to the Black community. So that's Informed African Americans. You can view the two-hour video presentation there over these holidays when there's not much to do. You might as well learn something that will help you to survive going forward. And then this coming Sunday on the Pfizer prayer line, we're going to give a presentation something to do with the Antichrist and the things that are taking place today. Tomorrow evening, 19th Element on Califani Radio, 9 p.m., where we go deep. We're going to look ahead, some of the predictions for 2022. So you want to check that out, the 19th Element on Califani Radio. Also, we want to thank Califani Radio. They're really picking up big time. They're going to rebroadcast, or they have been rebroadcasting now, the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference calls. Those are rebroadcast on Califani Radio platform Fridays and Saturdays. So if you miss it on Tuesday evenings, now you have a second chance on Fridays and Saturdays, Califani Radio. And Califani Radio is also sponsoring another health and wealth seminar. We had a great time in Atlanta the other day, and now on the 29th of January, the Health and Wealth Seminar taking place again on Califani Radio. So be sure to mark that down on your calendar. So do we have anyone on the line? Do we have calls?
Yes.
All right. Let's open up the lines and hear from our public.
Yes, sir. So for those who are on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand and I'll acknowledge your hand and take your call. If you have a question or a testimony, if you're on the free conference call, hit *6 and the number 1, and that'll place in the queue to ask your question or give your testimony. And if you're on the Facebook Live platform, please put it in the chat. We have Portia Bellamy.
Assalamu alaikum, Darlene. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was getting on to ask a question. First of all, I want to say thank you. I received my Paxlovid and have been taking it. But I did have a question. I have twins, and I wanted to know, is it safe to administer to them? They're 3 years old.
Sure, it's safe for anybody at any age. Now, they're 3 years old, so they don't weigh that much. They probably weigh, what, about 30 pounds? So I would just give them one drop or one spray a day, not a lot. They don't need a lot. But it's just safe.
Okay, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute. Yes, sir. That was my question. But it has been working great. Just a quick testimony. I haven't had it too long. But I did have like a slight sore throat because I went traveling last weekend. And as soon as I started taking the Paxlovid, it literally went away the same day.
Yes. It works really fast.
Yes,
so
sir.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Next call, please.
Sister Khan, you have to unmute. Unmute, Sister Connie. Okay. I'll take.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Here we go. Sister Deborah from South Carolina.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Alu. This is Sister Deborah X. I'm in Moscow 3, Columbia, South Carolina. And I actually have a testimony as well as just a thought. We recently, my family and I have been been recovering from what was told to my son-in-law and my daughter that they had tested positive for coronavirus. However, there is family members who have been completely vaccinated as well as have received, you know, I guess the shot and the booster and everything. And so I know that they have been in contact with them. So I strongly believe that we are dealing with, you know, perhaps maybe some side effects from that spike protein.
Yes.
We are taking the Paxlovid and we are, you know, doing well. I'll pray to Allah. I have a thought. I got on last week and I heard one of the sisters mentioning that she was scheduled to have a bone density test. And so when she was on the line, she heard talking about not being able to do to get these tests within a certain amount of time in order to receive, you know, the X-ray. Well, I was trained in went to school by the United States military as an X-ray technician. And during my service, I worked within the radiology department, and we worked just about every area within radiology. And the bone density test is given, you're close in high doses of radiation. It's also like this huge magnet type, device. And also the MRI, that is a giant magnet. It will literally pull any metal you have in your body out. The ultrasound, the mammogram, all of these things would cause, from what I'm remembering, it would cause a disruption to, I'm thinking, whatever device has been placed in the body. So therefore, my thought is that there must be an incubation period for the device that's placed in you, in order to get wherever it needs to go to begin to do what it needs to do. So therefore, you have to stay away from any type of radioactive equipment because it could scramble and cause that device to become, you know, inactive. So that is just a thought that, you know, I had, because I'm like, I don't believe anything. It's, you know, coincidence. I hadn't been on in a while, and I heard that, and it got me to thinking, you know, about, you know, these time periods that you have to have before you can have certain x-rays done. So I just wanted to kind of share that thought when it came to what just said. So,
okay. I thank you for
sharing that.
I thank you for sharing that thought. I think that probably is in the right direction. If you go back to the post of Charles Lieber, the Harvard professor that was arrested, if you look at his list of patents for his nanotechnology, you see that a lot of them are based on magnetism, especially the graphene oxide, which is actually assembled through magnetic fields. And, of course, the spike protein itself is, not only is it a prion, but it's also a it's a magnetized protein. So it's a self-propagating magnetized protein. So what that means is that it is influenced by magnetic fields. And as you pointed out, MRI scans and other radio studies may subject the body to magnetic fields. And if it takes a period of time, say 2 weeks, for self-assembly to take place of these injected electronic components, well, maybe they need to self-assemble free of any electronic, magnetic fields. And so that's why there's that gap. You can't get any procedures done until the self-assembly process is complete. Before then, as you said, a magnetic field would scramble all of those components. So maybe that's what people who got the shot should do. Maybe you should scramble the stuff with magnets. I'm not advocating that. It's just a thought in response to a thought. Thank you. Do we have another
call? This is Lorraine Muhammad. Please
unmute. Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
I just want to say humbly thank you, Dr. Halim, for allowing this platform and all those who are part of your team, because I've learned so much. But please keep me and my family in prayer. My sister Naima, who is the biggest fan of yours, she had returned to Allah.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Allah be pleased.
But one of the things, Dr. Halim, if nobody take you serious, I do, and I listen, and I thank Allah for this platform, because it wasn't easy to handle her no kind of way. I made sure, and all my family, even though they fought me with tooth and nail, I got the case. Thank you, Sister Connie, for allowing the Pax Immune. Sister Connie got it out. And my sister, they was taking it to the hospital. They was giving it to my sister. Maybe, but we was always taking the Pax Immune and the green cake. But one of the things I want to say, Dr. Halim, the ivermectin wasn't easy for me to get. They had found out she had lymphoma, a form of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want, a couple of days later, she passed away yesterday at 3:45. They want to put a clue. They want to say that she had COVID. She tested positive for COVID. So I requested for an autopsy. And they said, oh, you don't need no autopsy. We already know what was the cause of death. So, you know, I said no, because we were bringing her home on hospice, and like you said, the nutrition, and everything, that the bean soup, everything that you said, we follow you. You know, Dr. Halim, I mean, this is Ray Muhammad from Delaware, that followed you from Philly when we were doing the test. You know who I am. You know, I think this come on because right now I've been with you over 15 years. deliberate dialogue. Okay, that's me. I go that back far with you. Deliberate dialogue. Remember that?
Yes.
So we've been following you religiously, and they put the COVID. They say on her death certificate that she tested positive for COVID. I'm saying, well, she had lymphoma. Now all of a sudden it's COVID. What you think about that? Because we tried to get her out the hospital. We couldn't get the ivermectin. She kept saying she wanted to come home on hospice.
Yes.
And we were going to take her home.
Well, I mean, I can't comment on any individual case because I don't have the actual thing. But what I could say is there is an explosion in lymphomas and leukemias and other related cancers. And one way or another, it is connected to what's going on with COVID-19. But that also brings up the role that 5G is playing in this whole scenario. 5G is radiation that is being installed all over the country in every neighborhood. And it's well known that 5G radiation and other radiation of that type can activate viruses. So one of the viruses that is activated by 5G radiation is a lymphoma virus. So the Epstein-Barr virus, as it's called, or EB virus, can be turned on and off with a radio signal. And so when you say lymphoma in a hospital where all hospitals are just drowning in 5G radiation, well, you see, that's a perfect setup for the development of not only of lymphomas, but all other types of cancer. So that's the first point, is that we are experiencing across the country, really across the world, an explosion in all kinds of cancers. And it's all related to this COVID-19 and the vaccine and the 5G. Now, the second point I want to make is that the hospitals are reimbursed by the government and insurance plans according to the diagnosis on the patient's chart at the time of death. And I can't remember exactly what the numbers are, but hospitals are reimbursed many times more if the death diagnosis is said to be COVID. They'll get probably five times as much money as if the diagnosis was lymphoma. And so they're being coerced to call every death COVID, every sickness, every illness, every complication that takes place anywhere, at any time, for any reason, is all listed as a COVID case. And that's for financial reasons. Now, the hospitals and the clinics and the individual doctors who do not go along with this scheme, they're basically being run out of business. Doctors who do not go along with the vaccine campaign, they have been specifically targeted by Anthony Fauci. And many of these doctors have ended up dead if they're too outspoken against this campaign. But hospitals are being run into bankruptcy if they do not put COVID-19 down as a diagnosis for each and every patient under their care. And so the whole system has been turned into a fraudulent scheme that we just have to be wary of and avoid as much as possible. So I'm very sorry to hear about your sister's passing. May Allah be pleased with her. But we're in something now, and as my mother always used to say to my sister and I, keep your wits about you. So let's take one more call this evening, and then I think we'll call it an evening.
I don't have a call, but Brother Sean on the Facebook Live wanted to know, were you aware that Willie Wilson was in the hospital with COVID-19?
Yes, I got a message. You know, for those who don't know, this is Reverend Willie Wilson of Union Temple Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., long-term friend, and wow, just a mighty, mighty champion of the people in Anacostia and all over D.C. So our prayers and well wishes go out to Reverend Wilson, and we hope for his speedy recovery. So if there's no other calls, then I think
we have one more.
We have one more? Okay.
Yes, sir. We have a few more, but Sister okay. Toy Muhammad, please unmute.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Dr. Aleem, I really thank you so much for going into the DNR, DNI, DNH, because when my husband transitioned, well, he was murdered at the hospital. He went into the hospital for cancer treatment, and the Rituxan medication caused him to get pneumonia. And he was treated in the hospital, fell, had a brain bleed, and then 3 weeks later supposedly had gotten COVID and died. But I tried to sue, but the state of New Jersey has a moratorium on those who have COVID diagnosis that you cannot sue the hospital. They won't take any cases. They exempted them from any prosecution, any neglect, or any malpractice lawsuit. And at the time, they were doing do not attempt resuscitation. So yeah. At the time, they were telling people do not attempt resuscitation. And even though I had a power of attorney and his medical information was popping up on my phone, our doctor at the time was not practicing at the hospital because they would not allow them in. So it was an internist there at the hospital that we never knew that was taking care of him, gave him some medication I didn't approve. So I could never get through to the doctor. to talk to me and ask them why were they giving him medication. At one point in time, I had to call his oncologist who's on the board of directors at the hospital and had him go check on my husband because they were not calling me back. So even if you have a power of attorney, a medical power of attorney, you need to find someone in that hospital that you trust to check on your family member, because I did have someone that was an administrator that did check on him. But you have to look at your state. New Jersey, you cannot sue. I don't care if it says that it says on my husband's that he died of a brain bleed and he had an incident where he fell in ICU and died and really had a brain bleed. He developed a blood clot because they took him off the blood thinner. But on his death certificate is COVID. It's the third part of his thing. So be very careful when you go to these hospitals and they're going to put you on DNR, do not attempt resuscitation, because they don't want to catch COVID or it's neglectful in their care, but they're giving a pass because the state is passing saying that they don't get sued. So I thank you so much for bringing up the DNR, DNH, DNI information.
Yes, well, thank you. I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. But again, it's worse than you say. It's worse than you just said. It's worse than you think. See, anytime you run into a situation where the government has been taken over by private corporations, and then the government passes laws and mandates that indemnifies criminal activity. See, how in the world could somebody be indemnified against causing the death of another person? How could you be immune to prosecution? Even if you were neglectful, you can't be prosecuted. I can do anything I want to you, and you can't do anything back to me. You see, so that's the situation. So what does that mean? Well, just as we heard earlier in the call from Australia and the draconian measures that are taking place there. Okay, look at Austria, not Australia, Austria, the birthplace of Adolf Hitler. What is Austria's response to COVID-19? Well, Austria has just introduced legislation to put people who refuse the vaccine shot behind bars for 1 year. They are setting up concentration camps, just like the concentration camps that were used in World War II for people who are refusing to receive the vaccine. Okay, let's take another look at another country in Europe, the Netherlands. And I also think Switzerland. The Netherlands and Switzerland recently passed legislation concerned with COVID-19 that legalizes euthanasia. Euthanasia. What's euthanasia? Mercy killing. Assisted suicide. Now, the sister mentioned, and she verified what I had reported, a lot of these health care plans, insurance companies, they have do not resuscitate orders given to the doctor's staff. It's not made known public, made known to the public. You think the doctors and the nurses are going to save your husband. You think they're working to save your loved one. No, they're not. They're under orders. Do not resuscitate. Well, now, what's the difference between euthanasia, assisted suicide, and do not resuscitate? When you see, it's one thing to say do not resuscitate a terminal patient who is hopelessly ill, but what about a patient who has a possibility of recovery? Well, then assisted suicide is actually murder. Euthanasia is actually murder. So what we're actually looking at is mass government-sanctioned official medical murder on a mass scale. And we're getting individual reports, just like the sister that just called. She gave us an individual report. It was actually the report of a murder that occurred in her family. And other murders are occurring as we speak across the country, across the world. And so the best advice, if at all possible, do not cross the threshold into these hospitals. They are death camps. They are not there to save your life. They are there to take it. So thank you for that call. Let's take one more call. Maybe somebody's going to call in with some good news. We don't like to end on a kind of a down note. Let's take one more. Hopefully if somebody is going to say something happy.
Okay, I'll get one.
We want a happy call.
Brother Amin, go right ahead. Brother Amin. My sister Sherry. I don't know why did I say anything. But listen, I have something I want to share, Dr. Lee. My daughter and my son, my grandbaby was in Mexico last week, and so they was getting coming back to the States on Saturday. But my grandbaby, they had to get tested, so my daughter tested negative, and they say my grandbaby tested positive. And so my daughter called and just rambling, just going on. But my grandbaby gets on the phone. He said, Nana, you know what? He said, these people talking about I got COVID-19. You know, and he said, Nana, you know, and he was going to say, you know, it's BS. But he's 7, right? Because he knows he takes Paxlovid. So less than 24 hours, they was tested again that Sunday morning, and he tested negative. You know, and then finally they let him out of Mexico. But he, my grandbaby was 7. He was finna let him have it, Dr. Lee, because he said, now, you know, I take Paxlovid. So, you know, but those tests, like you say and been saying, they are false. We can't believe
them. Bogus. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you know. So praise be to Allah, Dr. Lee. We definitely want to thank you and all the 200 and some on Facebook. They thank you so much for the information that you're sharing and how much they love you and appreciate you keeping them aware and on the up and up of the reality of what is and what we're confronted with. So thank you so much.
Well, I love you back. And now just think about that. Now, what test do you know of that's positive one day and negative the next day?
Right.
I mean, they must think all of us are fools. You see, but again, this make you jump through these hoops, you know, to see how far you'll go with it. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is the best place to be on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, where we just deal with nothing but the truth. So thank you very much, and we're going to close out with announcements from Sister Najma, and we'll meet here next week at the same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. That's our Dr. Abdul Ali Muhammad. All praises are due to Allah for him and everything that he has shared with us and has been sharing with us and keeping us abreast on what's going on. So all praises are due to Allah, you know. So as far as the orders are concerned, we do have a amount of Paxlovid. Let me see. Let me move off mute. We do have an amount of Paxlovid. I said maybe Dr. Lean. And so go ahead and put your orders in now for your cases and your individual bottles. Dr. Lean said that the news cycle has started, but we don't know when that will be released. It is going to take it is a process. In that. So even though they have started that cycle, we won't have access to it until, you know, they do all the different steps that they have to do in that process. So it may not be available for us for a good while. So if you're able to go ahead and order your Paxlovid, go ahead and you can order that through DrAlim.com, and doctor is spelled out DrAlim.com. If you have any questions or issues with your order, please send us an email at mail@DrAlim.com, and that's mail@doctor, spelled out DrAlim.com. We are working on the Shanghai orders. We do have a small amount of the Sun God orders in stock, so we'll begin to send those out as well. Also the other items as well. So thank you so much for your patience in, you know, waiting for those orders. I know some of you have been waiting since June. Dr. Aleem wanted to get all of the Paxinune out and, you know, all the recalls and all those things out first before he started to send out the other orders. So we wanted to thank you so much for your patience in those. And the backloads, we will go ahead and send you an email and see if you want the refund or not, or if you want to continue to wait for the next shipment after we have exhausted the, what we have in stock right now. So we're in the process of actually making another order for those extra items. That is all the announcements that I have for this evening. Do you have any, Sister Connie? I'm going to make sure I'm mute.
Okay, we just want to let them know Dr. Aleem will be speaking on the Fajr Prayer Line Ministry of Love and Unity to Survive on Sunday, January the 2nd. And the conference call number is 717-908-1834. And the PIN code is 588878. Again, the conference call number where Dr. Aleem will be on the Fajr Prayer Line Ministry of Love and Unity to Survive, 717-908-1834. PIN code is 588878. Now, we start the line at 5 Central, 5 Eastern, 4 Central, but Dr. Aleem will come on 6 Central and 7 Eastern. So join us and hear what he, the doc, at the top of the clock, have to share. Thank you. Thank you much.
Thank you. I almost said it too earlier. Yes, ma'am. So praise be to Allah. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and close out with our Sister Najma. Hopefully she's available. You're muted again, Sister Connie.
Okay, she Alexa, ma'am.
Position yourself for prayer. Pray to Allah for those who are sick and afflicted. Oh Allah, we seek our refuge from the curse of Satan within ourselves and that which our own two hands bring to us and that which is outside of us. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most gracious, the most merciful. O Allah, we know not your will. Our will is that you make this your servant whole, that you heal her or him from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet. But we know not your will. But if our will is not your will, then we ask the Almighty God Allah to make us strong enough to accept your will without any strength in our breast. And if it's in your will that you return any of your servants to thee now, then we ask the Almighty God Allah to make their return joyous and easy. I mean, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Have a peace and blessed night, family. Assalamu alaikum and happy safe this day.
Well, Assalamu alaikum.
Happy safe this day to you as well. And for the callers who are on the line who did not get your questions answered and you have a pressing question or comment that can't wait until next week, you can email Dr. Aleem at questions with an S, Dr. Aleem at yahoo.com. And that's questions, QUESTIONSDOCTORALIM at yahoo.com. Assalamu alaikum, family. Have a blessed day. May Allah bless us with peace, contentment, and safety.
All right. Black power. So that was the Your Immunity Project weekly update being rebroadcasted here on the New Black Panther Party radio broadcast. We are making it a point on every Wednesday that we rebroadcast the Your Immunity Project as they do conference calls on Tuesdays. This information that Dr. Aleem and his team at the Your Immunity Project has been laying out on every Tuesday night is not only very informative, but it's very timely. And it is in part clearly information that we suggest that you pass on as well, and not only pass on, but you take this information and apply it in your daily lives as we are all a part of this global warfare that has been waged against our people with the biological weaponry of COVID-19 and the vaccine. So as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we also have information, a series of audios that we are going to be playing following the Your Immunity broadcast from other doctors and researchers and scientists who have also been speaking out about what's truly taking place with this vaccine. There is a website, doctors4covidethics.org, doctors4covidethics.org. At this website, you can also get information in regards to what is taking place from different doctors from around the world. There's also resources on that page that has templates of letters and forms to use for the workplace, for the schools, and things of that nature that are trying to force folks to take the vaccine. So with that being said, I'm going to play this clip. This particular clip is from a Dr. Arne Burkhardt, and he is speaking on the self-destructive nature of the vaccines and what they're actually doing to the body. So this is not just a isolated group of people who are speaking out. There are people globally who are speaking out about what's taking place, and we're making sure that we bring the medical professionals that are backing up and validating the information that we are saying, so that when you disseminate information, and you speak up and you take your stance, you are thoroughly informed. For those of you who are listening, please support the New Black Panther Party as well by going to www.nbpp.org. NBPP, N as in New, B as in Black, P as in Panther, P as in Party, .org, and give your contribution to the New Black Panther Party to keep this broadcast going and to support the program for the New Black Panther Party. Or if you're interested in joining the New Black Panther Party, you go to that same website. And, of course, if there's any information that you want to follow up on that was laid out on this broadcast or any of our other broadcasts, you still go to that same site, nbpp.org. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play this clip from Dr. Arne Burkhardt in regards to the self-destructive components of the vaccine.
How can we find out if people who have died after vaccination really died because that pistol was loaded? And there's only one way to find out, and that is the way of the pathologist, the one person who will come and look at the person who has died after vaccination to see whether in the organs there are signs of self-to-self attack by killer lymphocytes in the body. Now, this has hardly ever been done in the world. One German pathologist and professor has done this over the last 4 months. Professor Arne Burkhardt, one of the most experienced pathologists in Germany, who worked for over 40 years and is still active, went to the trouble to perform biopsies and histology of people who died after vaccination. And he's now with us to tell us the most exciting thing that you will ever have heard in your life. I want to welcome Professor Arne Burkhardt now. Arne, thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us in this dire situation.
Yes, thank you, Sucharit, and hello to everybody who is watching this presentation. Now, we had the chance to look at the organs of deceased people after the vaccination. We had, please, the first slide. We had all in all 15 patients that were where a postmortem was performed in institutes of legal medicine and in institutes of pathology. Now these 15 persons are listed in this in these two tables. You can see it were they were 28 to 95 years old, 7 men, 8 women. They died between 7 days to 6 months post-injection, and you can see the kind of vaccination that was applied and the days that these people died after the vaccination. So next slide. Important was the fact of where these people died, because after a long treatment in the hospital with intensive medicine care, we have many alterations of the tissues and the organs that are not due to the underlying infection or injection, but who are connected with treatment. So all in all, 8 of our patients died at home on the streets, in the car, in the automobile, or on the working place. One in home for the elderly, but no intensive care was done. So the 4 and 4 were treated in the hospital, 4 for a longer period of time, and 4 only for 1 to 2 days, which also probably did not have many changes due to treatment. In 2 cases, we do not know this at this time, but we will find out. Next slide. So this is a result of our very interesting histological observations. We had we found many characteristic organs and tissue changes which are related to the vaccination that was done. And these were of different, of various significance. Now, we found that in 5 cases, the coincidence or the correlation to the vaccination was very probable. In 7 cases, it was probable. In 2 cases, it was not clear but possible. And in 1 case, we did not find any of these changes in any significance. Next case. Now, what were our findings? The most important findings were in the small and larger vessels. Now, you can see here a small vessel in the myocardium, and you can see that the endothelial cells are descubated from the vessel wall, and the nuclei are swollen. And these descubated cells are intermixed with erythrocytes. Now, of course, this phenomenon can be observed now and then as an autolytic artifact persons that were where postmortem was done. But as the next slide shows, please. These vessels are really inflamed. You can see here that there is a vital reaction. You can see the desquamated endothelial cells with the elongated and swollen nuclei and the small dot-like nuclei of the lymphocytes that are intermixed with them and some erythrocytes. So this is a vital phenomenon, not a postmortem autolytic phenomenon in these cases. Next slide. So also in immunohistochemistry, you can find that there is a lymphocytic infiltration in the wall and around the small vessel, and all these small blue dot-like nuclei are lymphocytes, but they are not B lymphocytes, as this immunohistochemistry shows. Next slide. So I will show you more phenomena of vessels that are inflamed here. You can see the dense infiltration of lymphocytes. These are the small dot-like cells around a vessel in the lung. Next slide. You can see lymphocytic infiltration around in the periphery and adjacent to an extended vessel. Next. And also in the brain, you can see that these endothelial cells are swollen and are desquamated from their underlying tissue. Next. And this is another small vessel in the brain. This patient died of a hemorrhage of the subarachnoidal tissue, and you can see that this vessel is full with blood, and the wall is aufgelockert.
Yeah, destroyed.
Destroyed by lymphocytes that are found in this in here. Next slide. Now, these were the small vessels, and we call this an endovasculitis, or some people call it endothelitis. But we also found changes in the large vessels. This is an aorta, and you can see that there's an area of fresh necrosis in the wall of the aorta, and this is the light area. And you can see that there's some lymphocytic infiltration also in this case. Next slide shows this at a larger magnification. Definitely lymphocytes, these small dot-like nuclei without cytoplasm, which can be seen in the light microscope.
So,
next slide.
Anna, these are T lymphocytes, among which many are killer lymphocytes, right?
Yes, yes. I will show this later in the myocardium. Mm-hmm. So just to show you how often we found these phenomena, this endovasculitis or endothelitis, we found in 11 cases, and the main localization was the heart muscle, the myocardium, and the lung. And the vasculitis and perivasculitis of larger vessels we found in 10 cases. And this media necrosis of larger vessels we found in 2 cases. Next slide. And now we come to a phenomenon which I called lymphocyte amok. It's a lymphocyte predominant tissue destruction, which you may call inflammation, with imminent prolonged autoimmune disease development. Next slide. Now I will show you that we found these lymphocytic infiltrations in many organs that are not lymphoid organs, not lymph nodes, not the spleen, but here you see the lung, and you see that there are multiple lymphocytic accumulations in the interstitium and mainly perivascular. So, of course, some lymph follicles are found in the lung, but this is definitely very unusual that you see them in the periphery of the lung in this magnitude. Next slide. And this is a larger magnification. You can see that this accumulation of lymphocytes is not only follicular, but has a germ center formation. So it's definitely activated and it is in the wrong place. Next slide. And you find these lymphocytes not only in the interstitium, but also in the pleura, visceralis, and you can see some enterocortic pigment, but definitely in this place, not related lymphocytic accumulation. Next slide. And in the liver, we also find these nodular infiltrates, which cannot be interpreted as a hepatitis. It's definitely nodular, and this seems to be an infiltration of lymphocytes also here. Next slide. And we find it in the kidney. This is not a glomerular nephritis. It is not a purulent nephritis. It is just an infiltration of lymphocytes in the interstitium of the kidney. Next slide. And some very odd observations. We found lymphocytic infiltrations in a myoma of the uterus. This slide. And next. In the pararenal fatty tissue. Next slide. In the renal pelvis. And this is not a usual purulonephritis because there are hardly no granulocytes. We found these infiltrations in the skin. Next slide. Another case also in the skin, you see lymphocytic, purely lymphocytic infiltrations. There also was some iron deposits in this case. You see these brown spots. So this is typical of leukoclasic vasculitis of the skin. Next. And most alarming in this case, an infiltration in the dura, in the brain covering tissue. And you can see also lymphocytes here infiltrating this fibrous tissue. Next. So these massive or nodular lymphocytic infiltrates outside of the heart at the lung, where we found them mostly, we found in these organs, the kidney, the, you can see how many cases where we found it, the thyroid glandular, the aorta, the kidney, and lymphocytic nephritis, and in the dura, one case. Now we come to another phenomenon, immune, autoimmune phenomena that we encountered in these patients that where we examined the organs. We found a pseudo-lymphoma in one case, and we found changes that usually are associated with our autoimmune disease like Sjögren syndrome, Hashimoto, and vasculitis of the skin, nephritis, and non-alcoholic steatohepatopathy. So this is a pseudo-lymphoma. You can see it's several centimeters in diameter and definitely not normal. Next slide. The Sjögren syndrome, this is salivary gland, and you can see this nodular lymphocytic infiltrate infiltration, which destroyed the acidic tissue, but it spared the ductular elements. Next slide. The thyroiditis Hashimoto, you can see in this overview that there are definitely nodular accumulations of lymphocytes, sometimes with follicle formation and germ centers and destruction of the thyroid tissue. Next slide shows you a larger magnification of these lymphocytic infiltration and destruction of the tissue of the thyroid gland. Next slide. This is a change in the liver of which we found in two patients. You can see this infiltrations of the periportal peels and also purely lymphocytic infiltrations. And so we think this might be a non-alcoholic steatohepatopathy. Next slide. Now, coming to the well-known pathology, we come to the conclusion, or I will cite these well-known authors, that hypersensitivity or immunologic reactions may cause myocarditis, and we will look for this. And this is one of the factors in this process is the disturbance of the T cell functions. So in the next slide, I will show you the changes of the myocardium, which we interpreted, which we are sure are inflammatory reactions. And you can see here that there are sparse lymphocytic infiltration, but a marked edema, and the vessels are distended. So next slide will show you, this is a mild myocarditis, but here you can see that there are also areas where definitely the myocardial muscle tissue is destroyed. And again, in contra position to an infarction, there are almost no granulocytes, but definitely mostly lymphocytes. Next slide. And you can see these lymphocytes marching up in the small vessels, and this is definitely not normal because the lymphocytes only make up a few percentage of the blood cells, and there are almost no erythrocytes in the vessels in this area. Now, we did some immunohistochemistry, next slide. And you can find that these are CD3 T lymphocytes that are marching into the cardiac muscles. Next slide shows you that these CD3 cells are distributed in the tissue. The cells are marked by this brown coloring, by the way, that for those who do not know this reaction. Next slide. And lymphocytes are not only found in the myocardium, but also on the epicardium, as you can see here. Next slide shows you how often we found this phenomenon, lymphocytic myocarditis, lymphocytic predominance, myocarditis, epicarditis, and pericarditis. It was in a maximum with necrosis of muscular cells. In two cases, we found it marked in three cases and minimal in nine cases. As I said before, one case was practically none such reaction. But we concluded that a minimal myocarditis occurs in most of these cases that are vaccinated. Next slide. Now, what is important, these lesions were macroscopically hardly discernible, and they are often not interpreted right, but the pathologist thinks this is infarction. And they are typically small, focal, and multifocal. And often they are overlooked in the histological slide. But they definitely, these have a devastating effect on the action of the heart, and especially if you have a heart which is over the critical heart weight of 500 grams, the destruction of just a few muscle cells may have a devastating effect. And if this inflammatory infiltration is found in the where the right slide, or where the impulse for the contraction of the heart is given, this may lead to heart failure. Yes. Okay, next slide. So myocarditis was the most frequent finding that we had, and the second finding that we had in almost all cases was a lymphocytic pneumonitis or alveolitis, as you may call it. And you can see here that the lung tissue has collapsed. There are definitely dense lymphocytic infiltrates and at some beginning fibrotic formation. Next slide shows you another area. And here you can see the lung tissue is definitely has very changes that and also lymphocytic infiltration and nodular formations. Next slide. So these lymphocytic alveolitis or diffuse alveolar damage, or as you may call it, lymphocyte predominance alveolitis, is often not diagnosed. Macroscopically, it has the appearance of a lung fibrosis or COPD. And we found it in three cases in a maximum with lymph, with formation of lymph follicles. We found it in four cases in a very pronounced degree, and we found it in one case deutlich and minimal in five cases. Next slide. So coming to the pathogenetic interpretation of this finding, lymphocytic interstitial pneumonia or alveolitis is frequently associated with autoimmune system disease, and as we have shown, we've also found Sjögren syndrome, nodular lymphohyperplasia or pseudolymphoma, Hashimoto thyroiditis, chronic active hepatitis, and myasthenia gravis, and it might be a precursor of malignant lymphoma here. So, next slide. Okay, so these are our findings and our interpretations, and I think this lymphocytic AMOC is a very alarming finding that we had in most of these cases. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. This is mind-boggling and shattering because I'm a microbiologist. So when I said, children stand against the wall, we're going to shoot the water pistol at you. If that pistol were really loaded and we were shooting real bullets at our children and, of course, at anyone who's taking these jabs, what I would say is that you have shown us the bullets. The bullets are the lymphocytes, the T lymphocytes, the killer lymphocytes that are pervading so many organs that you've just got to be horrified. The heart, the lung, but the same people who have lung problems and heart problems also have liver problems and brain problems. This never occurs in biology and medicine. I don't think you've seen anyone with a combination of such lymphocytic killer cells, or have you, in your 40 years of practice?
No, definitely not.
That's a good, don't have to say anymore. Of course, because they're not described in the textbooks. I looked it up.
Yes.
There is no description. And because this is typical after vaccination, it proves that the vaccination is the cause. Our time is up, Arne. Our time is up. And I just want to say that I think that we have all just experienced probably the most moving half hour of our lives, because we now know that these vaccines are putting bullets, and the bullets are from our own immune system. How mad and bad can anyone get? And I am calling to all our colleagues around the world, the doctors, to stop firing these pistols, especially at our children. Don't you dare to do this, because if you do, you will be brought to justice, as will all the authorities, the politicians, the people who have been driving this agenda over the past 2 years in the most criminal manner. I think we will say goodbye to you now and let the next take the stage. Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.